A good man is hard to find, at least so the song goes. It was true today, and it was definitely true in the days of Ruth. And yet in Ruth 2, we meet Boaz, who is a good man. And as the story unfolds, we see that he proves that by providing material wealth and kindness for Ruth and Naomi. And also he's a man of great moral worth. And he's a potential redeemer. Through marriage to Ruth, Ruth and Naomi may have a future. By the finish of chapter 2, we want to see Boaz and Ruth come together. We want Boaz to ask Ruth out, so to speak. And yet, as we saw last time, Ruth chapter 2 leaves us wondering, will anything ever happen between these two? Today there are various methods online and beyond in which singles can connect and find a mate. But Ruth did not have that option, and there wasn't even a local paper to place a lonely hearts ad. And even if she'd done so, well, what would she say? Young woman looking, foreign widower looking for someone to look after, mother-in-law perhaps. And yet, today we see that Ruth did find a good man. In our passage today, we're told that Naomi devises a plan that leads to Ruth's proposal to Boaz. And Boaz then responds with a promise and provides for her. Ruth chapter 3 is a story filled with suspense. The narrator deliberately slows down the action to a few hours across an evening. He wants us to grasp the risks involved in Naomi's scheme, and he wants us to understand the possible consequences of Ruth's actions. The story is told with dramatic tension that points to a deeper truth. And once again, we see the hand of God at work in the lives of Naomi and Ruth and Boaz. The provision of Boaz and all that Boaz provides points us to a greater, truer kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. And we're called to put our faith in him and his ultimate provision. So we see the story begin with Naomi's plan. Naomi's renewed after experiencing the grace of God, and she wants Ruth to find a husband. In verse 1 we read, "One day Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, 'My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be provided for.'" And as I say, here we see evidence of the grace of God changing Naomi. The covenant kindness of God seen in Boaz and these great provisions of grain melts Naomi's cold heart. And now Naomi longs for her daughter-in-law to settle down, to find peace and protection and provision through marriage. So Naomi shares her plan with Ruth. In verses 2 to 4, we hear the details outlined. Naomi's plan involves Ruth making herself presentable and then initiating a meeting between Boaz and herself on the threshing floor at night. More on that later. But for now, let us notice that even though the book of Ruth highlights the providence of God, the sovereign working in lives, these characters are active, not disengaged, but active. Naomi doesn't say, well, God is sovereign, so let's just wait until a husband knocks on the door. No. Instead, we see that faith, true faith, is active and intentional. Naomi reminds Ruth that Boaz is a relative and informs her that he will be winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Striking that Naomi knew these details. How did she receive this information? Perhaps it's another one of those coincidences we read about throughout Ruth. And remember, previously Naomi had prayed for the Lord to provide a husband and rest for Ruth. But now she seeks an opportunity to be the answer to her own prayer. Naomi seizes an opportunity that the Lord has providentially provided. True faith is intentional. It's a deliberate reaching out. It's not just passive waiting. In our lives, we must seek opportunities to exercise the faith that we've been given. Opportunities to serve Him, both at home and abroad. Opportunities to speak of Him at work or in the home or amongst friends. Opportunities to use what God has given us to build His kingdom. And we embrace these opportunities, trusting in the God who keeps His promises. We keep our minds and our hearts focused on the truth of who God is and the way in which He works. We put our faith in the God whose love is eternal, whose faithfulness is forever, and whose plans are perfect. True faith is active and intentional. And it's not without its risks, at least humanly speaking. Naomi has devised quite the plan. And then in verses 5 to 9, we read of Ruth's remarkable commitment to that plan. Ruth goes to the threshing floor and does what her mother-in-law tells her to do. She waits until Boaz is in good heart and spirits after enjoying God's good gifts of food and fellowship. Ruth observes where Boaz lays down, then approaches quietly, uncovers his feet, and lays down. Now, there's nothing seedy in this. Boaz and Ruth are both pure, but there is also a tension in the air. Just as Boaz feels the cold air on his feet, there's a tension in this meeting. And try and remember the scene from Boaz's perspective too. He's done a full day's work. He's eaten well and thanked God for his good gifts. He's now lying down to enjoy some rest. All is well. He's got that great contentment that comes from a hard day's work. And then, somehow in the middle of the night, he wakens up and suddenly there's a woman lying next to him at his feet. In amazement, probably a little startled, and in the dark he asks, "Who are you?" Feel the tension in this moment. Anything could happen next. And then Ruth answers briefly, "I am Ruth, your servant." And as she does so, she is identifying herself with an improved status. She is no longer a Moabitess outsider. Instead, she is a kind of woman that Boaz might marry. And then notice that Ruth doesn't exactly follow Naomi's plan. Ruth instead takes the initiative here. In verse 9 we read, she says, "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer of our family." Essentially, Ruth is proposing to Boaz. She is communicating clearly what she desires. "Spread the corner of your garment over me. Provide for me. Be my protection. Be my covenant partner in life." Ruth is asking Boaz to become part of God's protection and provision for her life. Naomi had perhaps left things ambiguous and open. Ruth does not. She is clear in what she wants Boaz to do. Ruth continues to amaze us. Think about what Naomi had asked Ruth to do. To go alone in the middle of the night to this threshing floor where anything could happen. It's a risky strategy. It depends completely on the kindness, the integrity, the status of the kinsman redeemer, of Boaz. So yet again, here we see a picture of true faith. True faith is vulnerable. Ruth, in going alone that night, abandoned all other means of protection and entrusted herself with great courage to Boaz. Make no mistake, Naomi's plan was risky. Many men in that situation, many lesser men, would have maybe had a variety of negative reactions. Maybe simply they could have reacted angrily after being woken up from their sleep. But more seriously, they could have interpreted Ruth's actions as a license to sexual sin. This was a day whenever Everyone did what was right in their own eyes, for Boaz had already warned Ruth to seek out protection in the fields in public daylight. Imagine what could have been done in private at night. There were great risks in this plan. As Naomi gave these instructions and Ruth wholeheartedly accepted them, they both displayed enormous trust in Boaz, in his character, in his integrity. This plan all depended on Boaz and on him. This risky strategy depended on the kindness, the integrity, the status of the kinsman redeemer. And for us too, there is one person on whom everything in our life, in our walk of faith, depends. Our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. True faith then is vulnerable. Just as Ruth abandoned all other means of protection and provision and trusted herself completely to Boaz, so for us, faith means coming to Christ and fully trusting in Him alone. As believers, we're called to live the life of faith, the making of plans, the making of decisions, in such a way that everything depends on the kindness, integrity, and redeeming power of the Lord Jesus. To the extent that we know we can trust Him, we will take risks for Him and for His kingdom. And when we do not fully give ourselves to Christ, when we hold certain areas of our life back from Him, then we're betraying the fact that we have a small view of Jesus, of His love and grace and power. The reality is that if we're honest, many of us deep down feel that we cannot trust God to do what's best for us in certain areas of our life. We hold aspects of our career and our career ambitions back from God. We hold our family's future back from God. Our romantic prospects, whatever it may be, there are areas of our life that we don't give fully to God. And when we don't, we are saying that we don't trust you, God. We don't trust in you fully to be the Redeemer you've said you will be. But true faith is vulnerable. True faith trusts in God and who He says He is. And when we see Him as He is, the perfect Redeemer of perfect kindness and integrity, then we can and we will trust Him fully and we'll follow Him wholeheartedly wherever He may lead. And when we do this, we joyfully lean on His character. We rest in His faithfulness. We enjoy life as it's supposed to be. So, this day, this week, what risks will you take for Christ and His kingdom? True faith involves risks, but it is grounded in the character and the promises of the Redeemer. Before giving Ruth a direct answer to her proposal, Boaz blesses Ruth. It turns out that he's not put off by her directness, but he's pleased by it. In verse 10 we read, "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor." In chapter 2 we saw Boaz has already been struck by Ruth's kindness to Naomi. The fact that she chose to give up her life in Moab to journey back to Bethlehem and to risk all to be with Naomi. And now the kindness referred to in Ruth's desire to provide Naomi with an heir for Mary and Boaz is referred to as well. And notice Boaz's delight that Ruth has not run after younger men, whether rich or poor. Ruth could have gone after younger men, better looking men, better prospects, humanly speaking. But instead, Ruth, a woman of worth, seeks Boaz, a man of worth. In the midst of all the tension and the drama of this story, in the midst of the context in which these people live in, we should surely marvel at the purity of both Ruth and Boaz. Instead of engaging in some sort of sexual encounter, Boaz praises God for Ruth. Nor does Ruth make sexual advances to Boaz in an effort to win him over. Instead, both seek to do what's right in the eyes of God. And then notice Boaz's words in verses 11 to 13. "And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you're a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night. And in the morning, if he wants to do this duty as your guardian redeemer, good. Let him redeem you. But if he's not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." Think of those words, first of all. Don't be afraid. These are words of wonderful love and comfort and kindness. In this moment of tension and drama and the darkness of the threshing floor, Boaz comforts Ruth, blesses her, and then promises to do everything that she has requested, which probably involves taking great risk in taking care of the family and the property. He's not just marrying Ruth, he is taking on multiple burdens for her sake and for her family's sake. But Boaz is willing to pay the cost. Whatever it may be, whatever may harm it may do him, he will honour Ruth and Naomi and the family. But just as the happy ending seems in sight, Boaz raises a problem. There's a closer relative who's a more legitimate claim than Boaz. The happy ending's put on hold, at least for a moment, but Boaz pledges that under God that he will do all that's necessary. If this other man is unwilling to redeem, then he himself will marry her. Either way, Ruth will have a redeemer. Ruth and Naomi will have security and protection for the rest of their lives. Boaz then urges Ruth to remain with him during the night for the purpose of safety. Boaz is a man of worth and honour. He's made his promises and he will keep them no matter the personal cost. Ruth's courage has been rewarded because of Boaz, her redeemer. True faith then is grounded in the character and promises of the redeemer. In our story we see Ruth and Naomi put their trust in who they know Boaz to be and what he's promised to do. True faith is not about how we feel, but about what we know. Faith is a conscious decision to trust in what God has promised. For us as believers then, faith is a calling to mind the promises of God in his word. Throughout God's word, we see God make promises and keep promises. We saw that in God's word earlier when we were chatting with the children. True faith is grounded in God's faithful keeping of his promises, most wonderfully displayed in Jesus. So as believers today, in a very real way, we can humbly come to God and say, "You have promised to rescue me, to keep me. I trust that you will keep me, even in the midst of the situation I now face. I trust in you, my Redeemer." True faith is all about our Redeemer, in the promises he makes and in what he provides. In these final verses, we see once again that the generous provision of Boaz, and we're ultimately pointed to the uber generous provision of Jesus. In verse 14, we see that in the morning, before he approaches the other redeemer, Boaz extends his grace to Naomi and Ruth once again. Before it's light enough for anyone to recognize Ruth, Boaz sends her home quietly. This early send-off is meant to preserve the dignity and reputation of Ruth. These are things that are obviously important to Boaz. But before he sends her off, he gives her a gift. Another vast amount of grain, about 40 kilograms or so. This is a generous provision of food. It's not just basic provision for Naomi and Ruth. It will also explain why Ruth has been with Boaz on the threshing floor. And it's also a wonderfully symbolic provision. It's another message to Naomi, not just from Boaz, but from God. And then in verses 16 and 17, we see the nature of that message. When Ruth returns, Naomi wants to hear everything that's happened. She says, "How did it go, my daughter?" But more literally, she's saying, "Who are you, my daughter?" She's essentially saying, "Did the plan work? Has everything turned out for us as we planned?" And Ruth tells Naomi everything that Boaz has done and how Boaz's gift was intended not just to bless Ruth, but to bless Naomi. Boaz is serious about his pursuit of Ruth. He will take care of his mother-in-law too. And he provides this extravagant gift to prove it. Remember, Naomi had returned from Bethlehem empty, but now she was receiving her fill, first in grain, but more was wonderfully to come. And throughout our story, we witness Naomi's journey from emptiness to fullness through the actions of Ruth and Boaz. And in verse 18, Naomi recognizes Boaz's serious commitment. She trusts in Boaz to resolve the complication immediately. And so she urges Ruth to wait and to rest in the work of Boaz. She believes Boaz to be a man of his word who will not leave this important task unfinished. She urges Ruth to wait and rest in the work of Boaz. Because sometimes, more often than we'd like, true faith involves waiting and trusting in the work of our Redeemer as we wait. We're to rest in the work of our Redeemer, to trust in his sovereign ways, to trust that God will keep his promises. In our story, we see Naomi and Ruth make a plan. And Ruth obeys that plan. We see a proposal that's met with kindness, with promises and provision. And this is the way the Lord Jesus has dealt with us. Ruth came to Boaz and asked him for what she needed most, a redeemer. Boaz not only promised marriage, but also provided for her in the meantime. And when we come to Christ, we too can ask for redemption and the provision that we desperately need. We can be sure that Jesus has seen us in our need, that he has paid the price for us, that he's clothed us with his garments of righteousness, that he's made us his own. And then he gives us the most wonderful provision, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in us as a seal of our salvation and a promise of the glory to come. Right now, we wait patiently for his glorious return and our ultimate glorification. Jesus has done all that we could ever ask him to do for us, and he will continue to do all that we need. Our Redeemer has changed everything. Our status, we've been brought into union with him, given glorious hope for the future. So as we leave this place today, let us exercise true faith in our perfect Redeemer. Let us leave trusting completely in him and his promises. Let us live a life worthy of him, guided by his Spirit and obedient to his word. Let us pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word, for the wonderful truths it contains and the true stories. And we thank you for what we have seen today in Ruth 3. We thank you for our Redeemer, for Jesus, for the abundant provision we have in him, both now and forever. Help us to be people who are intentional and wholehearted in our following, to trust that you will always provide all that we need in your time, and that one day we'll be with you forever in glory. But until that day, help us to keep looking to Jesus and listening to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.